there and welcome. This is Amanda, the founder of Astrology Hub, and you're listening to our Week Ahead Snapshot with world-class astrologer, historian, and author of The Cosmic Calendar, Christopher Renstrom. This show is designed to give you a quick overview of the week ahead, enabling you the gift of choice in how you navigate and weave these energies into your daily life. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Christopher Renstrom, and before I start this week's horoscope, I wanted to tell you about a workshop that's being given here on Astrology Hub on September 21st. It's an exciting workshop for me personally, because I've always been an admirer of the work of Richard Tarnas. I first discovered his work in the 90s when I was an astrologer living in New York City, and it seized my imagination. He was following in the tradition of Dame Rudyard, which was basically to marry the idea of archetypes to the symbolism of astrology and use it for psychological and soulful counseling. This is something that he was doing. And it was really, really exciting work. It still is exciting work, which is what's so exciting about this workshop that he's going to be teaching with his daughter, Becca. On September 21st, you're going to have an opportunity to study with them and to explore astrology's relationship to both the soul and psychology. Now, one would think that those are two of the same ideas. It's almost like sort of the same thing. But actually, there are very nuanced differences between the two. And this is something that the two of them are going to be teaching you, along with how to apply this information, not only in your day-to-day life, but also in your own particular astrological consultations. So this is something that I very strongly recommend. I'm super duper excited about. I mean, the Tarnases are like astrological dynasty. You know, they're really, really terrific. And Becca is picking up very much from where her father is leaving off, but expanding it in her own personal sense of direction and according to her own personal view. So this is really, really exciting stuff. And I strongly, strongly encourage you to check out the course. So if you're interested in this course and want to learn more about it, you can go check it out at astrologyhub.com/initiation. Again, that link that you want to check out is astrologyhub.com/initiation. And now on to this week's horoscope. This week, I wanted to talk to you about Venus entering the zodiac sign of Virgo on September 5th. Venus will be in the zodiac sign of Virgo from September 5th until September 29th. Now, there are a couple of things I want to break down for you when we talk about Venus being in the zodiac sign of Virgo. Actually, let's begin with its reputation. Venus being in Virgo probably has one of the more negative reputations in astrology. It's kind of like second to Venus in Scorpio and probably Venus in Capricorn. Okay, all three of them don't have the best reputation. And that's just because people don't really understand them in the way that they should. So anyway, this week we're talking about Venus in Virgo. Maybe one day we'll talk about Venus in Scorpio and one day we'll talk about Venus in Capricorn. But this week we're talking about Venus in the zodiac sign of Virgo. So why does Venus in Virgo have such a sour reputation? Well, part of the reason stems from something called planetary dignity. Planetary dignity talks about the strength and power of a planet when placed in a particular sign. It doesn't apply to all 12 signs of the zodiac. Actually, it only really applies to four. Mercury's case, it applies to just two. So planetary dignity talks about whether a planet is powerful or weak according to the zodiac sign that it is placed in. Let's start with Venus. Let's take Venus. We're talking about Venus this week, so let's talk about Venus. Venus is said to be in domicile. That means Venus is at home in the zodiac signs that she rules. You may recall that Venus rules the zodiac sign of Taurus, and Venus rules the zodiac sign of Libra. These are the two signs that she rules, and so it is said that Venus is in domicile, at home, relaxed. sitting on the couch and eating bonbons and streaming her favorite Netflix films. Okay, when Venus is in the zodiac sign of Taurus or Libra, that's a good way to think of it. Venus is in detriment, basically means not as at home, when she is in the zodiac signs of Aries and Scorpio. Aries and Scorpio, you'll notice, are opposite the two signs that she's in domicile, all right? So if Venus is at home in Taurus, she's in detriment in Scorpio. Just like if Venus is at home in Libra, she is in detriment in Aries. Now, that can sort of seem like a lot of things to remember, but all you have to basically remember with this one is that Venus is in detriment in the Mars-ruled signs. Okay, Mars-ruled signs are Aries and Scorpio. Venus is in detriment in those signs. What does detriment mean? Well, you know how we were talking about Venus lounging on the couch and eating bonbons and watching Netflix movies? Well, when Venus is in detriment, it's like you're staying over at somebody else's house. Maybe you're visiting a friend. Maybe you're visiting a cousin or an in-law. You're a guest at someone's house. So where you could sort of like get up in the middle of the night and open up the refrigerator and sort of like look for something to eat. Okay. When you're at a friend's house or you're a guest in somebody else's house, you can't really do that. You can't really march on down to the refrigerator and look around for things. You have to sort of like behave yourself. Okay, so that's Venus in detriment. It's not a dreadful position. It's just an uncomfortable one. It's where you have to sort of like behave yourself in that particular sign because you're not at home in your own. Okay, that's a pretty easy idea. Okay, so then Venus is said to be exalted. We went domicile detriment. Now we're going to go for an exaltation. Venus is exalted when she is in the zodiac sign of Pisces. Okay. The reason that Venus is exalted in the zodiac sign of Pisces is that archetypally speaking, Venus, when she's born, emerges from the waters of the Mediterranean. So there's this affinity with ocean and waves and water. And also Pisces is a very fertile sign. And Venus is a planet that's associated to sex and sexuality and also fertility. So she's exalted in the zodiac sign of Pisces. And so when a planet is exalted in a sign, that's basically like staying at a five-star hotel that comes with a spa and that you get to sort of like enter your room and there's music and you've got a spa thing waiting for you and you get to like walk around in slippers and everyone's waiting on you hand and foot. You know, you arrive at the hotel and they pour you a glass of champagne. And they say, for your entire stay here, you have access to a Lexus car. Which of the Lexuses would you want? And you get to go out in the parking lot and say, I want that Lexus. Okay, so this is a sign that's exalted. This is a planet. This is what it's like when a planet is in a zodiac sign of its exaltation. It is exalted. It is rejoiced. It is celebrated by all. It is most magnificent. Okay. And people who have their planets in these exalted signs feel very exalted and very celebrated and very privileged. It's a wonderful place for the planet to be. Now, in order to find our last dignity, which is fall, we go across from Pisces to the zodiac sign of Virgo, and we discover that Venus is in fall in the zodiac sign of Virgo. Okay, this is part of the bad reputation that Venus gets for being in fall in Virgo. You know, many astrologers will say that's the worst place that you want your Venus. You're going to be a spinster. If you've got Venus in Virgo, you're going to be a spinster. You're going to grow up to be an old maid or a shrew or a critic or a cynic or someone who's just not interested in sex and romance. Okay, and again, there's another one. Oh, you're such a purist. You're such a perfectionist. It either has to be done your way or you'll have nothing to do with it. And so Venus in Virgo can make you very prudish and very critical. Okay. And that of course comes from the idea of Virgo being named after the virgin and a maiden. And so this is this idea that, you're just too uptight. That's pretty much it. Boy, is that wrong. Okay, Now, you have only me to believe for this, but I cannot begin to tell you how wrong that is. For a number of years, well, first thing I'm going to say, for a number of years in New York City, when I was reading tarot cards at all the dance clubs, yes, that's how Christopher made a living in the 1980s and 90s in New York City. Many of my clients who were in the they were called escorts back then. Okay. Many of my clients who were escorts back then had either a sun in Virgo, moon in Virgo, Virgo rising, and usually a very strong Venus in Virgo. Okay. Not things that you associate with being part of an escort service, but they did. And they were marvelous clients and they always tipped well. They said, Christopher, you're working really hard. And so they always tipped well. And so this is what I sort of wanted to share with you. Virgo takes charge of its body. And so Virgo, being in charge of one's own body is very important to Virgo anyway. It's not just because they're health freaks or nutrition or things like that, but it's this idea that nobody owns me. It's this idea that nobody owns me. And what this comes from is the fact that number one, Virgo is the only zodiac sign in astrology that is represented by a woman. All right. You look at all the other signs and they're all male. The bull has horns. The lion has a mane. There's a fellow who's like, you know, rippling muscles or whatever. Sagittarius, who's half fellow and half horse galloping through. You know, later on, they would start to like make the Gemini a male female or make Aquarius even a woman with long tresses as she's pouring water. But that's recent. Okay. For 2,500 plus years, pretty much the only sign that stood in or kept a space for women was the zodiac sign of Virgo. Again, it could be answered, well, we don't really know about Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces. And okay, we don't really know the gender of the crab and the scorpion and the fish. But, you know, Virgo was pretty much the only one that stood in for women. Now, women in the culture that astrology comes from, the culture that astrology stems from, particularly in the Greek influence in astrology, women in those cultures were basically had no rights, okay? Especially in Greece, ancient Greece, there's a very strong misogynistic tendency and a very strong misogynistic quality in which women are lesser than. And so if you're born as a woman into that culture, you basically were, you could either be married or unmarried. Okay. If you were unmarried, you had a really hard time of it. You were little more than a slave as far as the Greek society was concerned, or a prostitute. Okay. Those were kind of like your options there. And if you were married, in this type of culture and you were a woman, you were usually married off by the age of 14 or 15, okay, to a fellow who was probably, you know, men considered in their prime, marrying years. Okay, you were probably a 14 or 15 year old girl who was being married off to a fellow who was about 28 or 30. Okay. And so that when people talk about wives as being little women or children or girls, this is where it comes from. Okay. This is where it comes from. There was a time in our past and culture in which young women just past being children were being married off to older men. And so, and then if you're a woman being married, that decision wasn't made by you. It was made by the head of your household, the male head of your household. And the marriage was arranged, and if you were married to someone, there was no indication that the husband you were marrying lived nearby or was even going to communicate with your family again. All right. So if you were being married, you were being taken by your husband into his household. Okay. And wives were sequestered. They were kept in the house. You were taken by your husband into his household where you became a member of his family and household. And you might very well never see your mother again or your sisters or your brothers again. Okay. And this is why in the story of Demeter and Persephone, Demeter weeps at Persephone being abducted. It's really Persephone being married and taken somewhere else where she's never going to see her again, and she might as well be dead. I mean, this is why the sorrow, this is part of the reason why the sorrow is so great. So as a Virgo, as a woman coming from this society, you know, the idea of being apart, or how do I have ownership of my own body? Okay, how do I have ownership of my own life? What this evolves along the lines of in astrology is the idea of chastity. Okay, now chastity is something that people are like, oh yeah, you know, virgin chastity, you know, people kind of like make fun of or deride or whatever. But chastity back in the day, of the early Christian church, to be chaste, okay, to choose not to marry, okay, which is all part of the Virgoan. Okay, to choose not to marry, that is analogous pretty much. Okay, today's version of that would be trans, you know, would be having a trans child or someone being trans. It's a refusal to subscribe to the gender that you were born into, or in if it's non-binary, to any gender. Okay. And if you look at the way that the public can be confused or even angry or hostile or anything along those lines, take a snapshot of that moment and transfer that moment back to the early church. For someone to say, I am going to be chaste, I'm going to maintain my virginity, this person was saying, I am not going to have children, I am not going to marry, at a time in our civilization in which the mortality rate for women dying in birth was very, very high. The mortality rate for infant children was very, very high. There was a very strong need and insistence that if you were born into a family that you married and you had children, you had to continue the family line. So for someone to say, no, I am forswearing that, and I'm forswearing that for God and for the church, and that's where I'm going to go. A family just lost a member who could have continued that family line. So when you look, for instance, in the stories of those Christian martyrs who are being killed, Catherine Wheel or Lucy in the Eyes and all these sorts of things, they're not being killed for their faith in God. They're being attacked and killed for that chastity, which was a refusal. And it was a refusal to basically, I mean, simply put, the patriarchal society. Okay, it was a refusal to bend the knee. It was a refusal to marry. It was a refusal to say someone can have ownership over me. Okay, this is at the core of Virgo. All right, and this is at the core of Venus in Virgo. Why is Venus in fallen Virgo? Part of the reason used to be like, well, Venus is the party girl of the sign, so she's like a prude or whatever in Virgo. Okay, we covered all of that. But Venus is in fallen Virgo. Venus is in fallen Virgo because she doesn't trust marriage. Venus is in fallen Virgo because she doesn't trust relationships. And this is something that shows up a lot with people who have Venus in Virgo. Doesn't stop them from entering into a relationship, but there's always that sensitivity. There is always that sensitivity of you don't own me, okay? And part of this also comes from Virgo's need to be of service, okay? Virgo is a zodiac sign that serves people. It has to be of service. It's kind of like, I mean, it's a horrible comparison, but it's the first one that comes to, you know, you throw a Kong or a stick or whatever, and a Labrador retriever goes and runs after it, gets it, and brings it on back. Well, Virgos have that relationship to service. They hate that about themselves. But if someone's like, I'm having a problem with this, or only you can help me, or I'm lost, can you give me directions? Virgos can't help but stop and give direction and to help the person out. Virgos can't help but be of service. That's why for people born under the zodiac sign of Virgo, if you've got a rising or if you've got a moon or Venus, that's why people with strong Virgo placements are always really sensitive to being used. They're very sensitive to being exploited. I will serve you, I will help you. I will serve you. I will help you. I will help you to help yourself. Virgos subscribe very strongly to that that phrase from I think it's Gospel According to Matthew. Give a man a fish, he eats for a day. Teach a man how to fish, and he eats forever. So the idea with Virgo is, I will show you how you can do this for yourself. And it's really important. Okay. I will help you to understand how you can do it for yourself. So this idea of self-sufficiency is very strong, because Virgos don't want to be exploited. They don't want to be abused. They don't want to be used. So this is where Venus, which is the planet that rules over what I attract, it's the planet of our sex, our sexuality, who we are with someone else in terms of romance, who we are with someone else in terms of marriage or being. But it can also be who we are in terms of someone else, as long as it's outside of our family. Venus rules all those relationships outside the family. Relationships dealing with the family are all moon or lunar ruled. So Venus is all those relationships outside. Venus is about alliances, partnerships, and relationships with an eye to do better, okay, in life. So Venus is the planet of likes in astrology. You know how we like on Instagram, or we like on Facebook? Venus is likes. She's like. She collects likes, okay? This is what she does in your astrological chart. She collects likes. She brings people into your life who think like you, who dress like you, who like the same things you like, who hate the same politicians that you hate, who enjoy the same music, okay? So Venus brings into your life people who are like you. It's the law of attraction. This is all Venus. So what's the difficulty that Venus has in Virgo? We already have this idea of being suspicious of relationship, being used, but that won't stop a Venus in Virgo from wanting to be with someone. The big thing, the trigger, for lack of a better way, that's going to come across is, you don't own me. Okay, this is the thing that will make the Venus in Virgo stop short and maybe even end the relationship. It's like, if you're moving in on my life, or you're trying to dominate my life, or you're trying to tell me what to do or order me what to do, you don't own me. Okay. And that can be a deal breaker for Venus in the zodiac sign of Virgo. What's also the last point that I want to bring up, you know, talking about Venus and Virgo here, is I want to sort of flip that idea. Venus is about people getting together. That's her job. This is what the benefics do. Venus and Jupiter both do this. They bring people together. Jupiter brings like-minded people together, like in a group or a community, because Jupiter's named after Zeus, the god of the polis, the city-state. So that's the community or the group, or even the city. Okay, but Jupiter's really group. Venus is one-on-one. Okay, so Venus brings people together on a one-on-one. This is her job. And again, it's liking the same things, enjoying the same things, can't stand the same things, and being bored by the same things. These are the things that bring people together. But at the same time, there's this idea of need. Okay, and this is something that I've seen in my work over the years. I've seen relationships, especially relationships in older years, you know, people who are like 40 or 50s, these relationships will break apart because there's no compelling need to be together. Okay. This isn't like, oh, I'm needy or whatever. Although that's not such a bad thing either. Everyone's needy to an extent. And again, that's something that I think is often exaggerated to sort of shame people for feeling those things. But there needs to be in a relationship a compelling reason to stay together. You need to need someone to be in a relationship, okay? And this is an important thing. It's not something to feel embarrassed about or bad about. It's something to actually celebrate, or it's something to celebrate, absolutely, but it's also something that's like obvious. Why else would you be together if you didn't need to be with one another? Okay, so that idea of need, that word need is an important word, and it's a word that needs to be embraced, and really to be that I think we all need to be not ashamed of and very comfortable with. Remember how I was talking about Virgo's insistence on self-sufficiency? you know, that Virgos need to be able to take care of themselves for fear of being used or abused. It's very, very ingrained. Okay. And it comes from that whole history of the way that women have been treated, in the civilization that astrology really, grew through. Okay. Which is out of Greece and Egypt, and then through Islam. Actually, women in Islam, that's a whole other story, were treated much, much better, were dealt much better. But then it snakes up into Europe and all the, I'm not going to walk you through the learning channel. But anyway, what this comes from is a lot of baggage. Let's put it this way. There's a lot of historical baggage about the way that women have been treated. And so it's this idea of being self-sufficient. I'm not going to be used and abused. And Virgos actually are really good with fulfilling the needs of others, okay, because that goes into the service thing. What Virgo has a hard time doing, and what people with Venus and Virgo have a hard time doing, and remember, you can have Venus and Virgo, and it doesn't, your sun sign doesn't have to be Virgo. Your sun sign could be Leo, it could be Libra, so the way that it's going to fit. But the problem that Venus and Virgo can have is sharing their own needs with someone. It can serve the needs of someone else, even encourages it. You know, what do you need me for? Because this is all about making oneself indispensable, okay, which is a Virgoan thing. But the idea of needing, okay, you can't turn to a Venus and Virgo and say, tell me what your needs are, because they're going to look at you blankly and say, what? Need? Well, what do you need? I mean, they'll put it on you. Okay. So the thing when you have Venus in Virgo, and something to think about when Venus is traveling through this sign, is have you told people that you love or are intimate how much you need them? You don't have to necessarily recite the needs. I mean, that would be a good idea too. But when's the last time you told someone, I need you? You know, or this is a need of mine that you fulfill. Not like, you know, when are you going to fulfill my needs? You know, sort of standing there, arms akimbo, like, I have needs and you're not fulfilling. And this is no. Walk away from that. But to talk about, about how much you need someone and about how much this person does fulfill your needs. You know, this is something that especially if you have Venus in Virgo, it's an important thing to think about. When's the last time I said, I need you? We're all into when's the last time I showed you gratitude or appreciation or recognized you. But when's the last time I said to you, I need you? You know, people want to know that they're needed. Okay. Why else stick around? People want to know that they're needed, that you're relying on them, that they mean that to you. This is very hard for a Venus in Virgo. And I think that that's why Venus struggles in this zodiac sign, because Venus quite naturally bonds and talks about needs and things like that with someone. But she really has difficulty doing that in Virgo. So it's something to think about while Venus is traveling through the zodiac sign of Virgo. And even if you have a chart that has no Venus in Virgo in it, no Virgo in it whatsoever, it's something to think about during this time that Venus is traveling through the zodiac sign of Virgo. And Venus will be in the zodiac sign of Virgo through September 29th.
Hi, this is Becca Tarnas.
And I'm Rick Tarnas. And we're really looking forward to teaching an upcoming workshop here at Astrology Hub on September 21st.
If you want to be the first to know when registration opens, make sure you're signed up for the Cosmic Insider at astrologyhub.com/insider.
We look forward to seeing you there.
Hi there, I'm Amy Escobar, a producer of the Horoscope Highlight Show with Christopher Renstrom. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology Hub Podcast Network. If you love the show, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, review, and share it. And if you don't know how to do that, here's how you can leave a review in Apple Podcasts on iPhone. Make sure you're on the landing page for the Astrology Hub Podcast and not an individual episode. Scroll down to the bottom until you reach Ratings and Reviews. Click one of the 5 stars under Tap to Rate to leave a rating, and under the Most Recent Review, tap the Write a Review button. And if you're on another device, just find out how to leave a review on whatever podcast player you use. Then, Share what you love about the show or how it helps you navigate your life. We'd love to hear your stories. And by doing this, you make it possible to make shows like Horoscope Highlights happen every week. Thank you again for tuning in, for being a part of our community, and for making astrology a part of your life.